And joining us on the reverse stick is Arul Anthony.
Hi, good afternoon, John.
Now, thanks for joining us today. You're here to talk to us about the Malaysian League, because on the reverse stick, we've been trying to follow up, but we've had a little bit of difficulty, so we thought we'd get someone on that might be able to tell us. And seeing as how you coach in that league, I thought we'd ask you.
Yeah, why not? It's sad, from my side, it's sad that the world, on the other part of the world, like to follow the league. It'll be a good platform for them to promote the game, but it's sad that we've not gone into that stage of showing it live via YouTube or, you know, whatever it is, yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about how the league's structured?
We have six teams in the Premier Division, which the clubs here are based on corporate clubs, which is most of the clubs do not have their own clubhouse, unlike in Australia where you have your own clubhouse and etc. You have a platform of youth development and so on. We do not have that much here. So we have teams like corporate, the banks or the electricity board, they participate in the league, and what they do is they contract the players. In fact, all of them are considered professional or semi-professional, so they are paid to play. And the downside of the league, it's very short time. It's only played about 5 weeks in total, so which is not good for the players. It means the players who aren't in the Malaysian team, that's the only hockey they get for the whole year. After that, it's just social games and so on. So that's what makes the gap between the core national team players and the club players. The gap is very far.
And that would likewise be with the women as well, I take it. Is there even less development for the ladies?
Yeah, I think Women League just started maybe a few years ago. Prior to that, they didn't have any league. They only had an inter-provincial tournament, which only goes on for a week. So it's sad that I'm sure. It's also the calendar of the international hockey calendar. It's also, of course, there's an impact on it. But I used to coach in South Africa and Ireland, and when I came back there, we've tried to persuade the Federation to try to at least simulate the similar calendar to the European hockey. At least you get a longer period, you know, where you start September, yeah. October, November, you take a break, December, January, February, and continue again, you know, so at least you keep the players longer. We have a bit of red tape here, like the Sultan Azlan Shah Cup, which is happens around March.
Yep,
so, and the downside of it, that you do not get the top teams from the European teams coming, because March is their part of their second part of the league. So we lose out on that, you know?
Yeah, as far as the players go. You yourself are the coach of the Uni KL team. How does the fixturing go? We were struggling a little bit because there's sort of leagues mixed up with cups at the same time.
Yeah, we have this cup called Alagendra Cup, which last year ran concurrently with the league. So what happened last year was we play a game on a Friday, the league game we play on a Friday and a Sunday, and then we play the Alagendra Cup on a Tuesday. And sometimes when you get a draw, away match, and you have to travel on the Tuesday, so I think a lot of teams complain. So what they've done this year was, the first part of the week, which started on the 3rd of January till the, 8th of January, they just played the Alagendra Cup. So it's a knockout. So we finished that off. So the finals was on the 8th of January. So once we finished that, then the league started on the 12th of January, which went on until the 2nd or 3rd of February. And then the top four teams, we only had six teams, so the top four teams, they played two legs of semi-finals, which was on the 4th and the 7th, and we played the finals of the cup on the, which is the overall, we call it the TNB Cup, on the 10th of January. So you had the Alagendra Cup, and then you had the league, and the winner of the league, and then the top four of the league plays in this overall title, they call it the TNB Cup, TNB MHL Cup.
What one do the players covet the most?
Definitely the one that we won, which is the TNB Cup, yeah. That is the, I would say, I don't want to exaggerate too much, but that was the pinnacle of the tournament, the TNB Cup.
Okay. As a coach, what do you find is your biggest stumbling block in having such a short season?
You can't do much because I had 21 players in my squad, and out of the 21, I had six foreign players, and I had another player who was based in Germany. He's a German Malaysian naturalized, so there were seven gone, and I had three guys in the national training squad, and two guys in the development squad. So that's 7 plus 5, that is 12 gone. And out of that, I had about three players who went to play in Scotland or Italy, or they went to Dubai in the Oman League. So I was left with about 4 to 5 players to work with. So I could just work on their physical part of it. And because to book the pitch, it's also very costly training. And so we worked a lot on the physical. And I only had the players coming back to me about maybe a week before the league or 10 days. So I could only do some hockey work. And then the foreign players arrived first week of January, or some arrived late. Some arrived only on the 8th or 9th, so they didn't play in the Alejandra Cup. So it's very difficult. So, but this year, I think we did very well. Credit to the foreign players that we had, who came with a lot of experience, who came with a lot of character, and they're great players. They're winners, so they know how to win matches. So we were great that they did their part well in helping, guiding our local players as well. So as a coach, this year my approach was different. This year I gave a lot of responsibilities to the players to execute on the pitch. Of course, I gave them the fundamentals and the concepts, but I think my focus this year was less coaching and more managing.
Now, you mentioned before the league. There's also a tier, a second and third tier underneath that main league of six teams, isn't there?
We have Premier League, which is six teams, and we have another division, which is Division 1. I think we had about 12 teams, I think, in Division 1.
Okay.
But the standard is far, far below. It's sometimes, it's sad to say, it's not worth watching the Division 1 games because the standard is very far behind, yeah.
Is there any promotion relegation, or are you just keeping those six teams and keeping those franchises?
It has been six teams. Last year we had eight teams. So the whole idea was the two come down and the two from the first division come up. But what has happened, the two that were supposed to be promoted refused to be promoted. They refused to come up to play in the Premier League. The scenario is because the four or five teams in the Premier League is too strong, because all the national players are around these three, four teams. And these three, four teams have also got the funds to buy in some better foreign players compared to the Division 1 teams. So it's very difficult, because the two or three teams, which is a known team, which is Terengganu Hockey Team or THT, and the other one is the Kuala Lumpur Hockey Club or KLHC. They have got the core of the national players. If we have 24 in the national squad, and core of them are with them, so it's not spread out equally. So the teams in the Division 1 is just, most of them are college teams or a social player or ex-internationals goes back to play. So they do not want to come up, they do not want to get bashing.
Where do you get your players from, the local players? You mentioned that there's not much hockey outside of this particular league. Is there's some sort of formal association that's playing regular games?
Most of these players have been with UniCal for maybe 5-6 years, because I was also coaching the national team and the junior team. So I took most of the junior players with UniCal. So we've been together now for maybe 5-6 years. So they've grown with us, basically. It's not possible to be going around to watch events, to pick up players, because there's no such tournaments for them to play and show their performance. Uh-huh. It's only the age group event, but the age group players, that's why we pick the age group players who are 18, 19, who goes and play there. There's another tournament called Nation Junior Hockey League, which is starting, I think, next week. So you might get one or two potential, but again, you need to keep them in your club for 3, 4, 5 years before they are strong enough to be playing in the senior league.
How are kids exposed to the game in Malaysia?
They have the school system.
Okay.
They play for their school. We are not club based, unlike in Europe, which is club based. We are school based.
Yeah.
So they play all their hockey in the school, and we have the national under 16 tournament, national under 12, national under 14, national under 16, and national under 18 tournaments. We have this in the schools. The other downside that I see, it's the establishment of a sports school. We have a thing called sports school in the country. We have about 5 or 6 sports schools. So when you finish your junior school, when you're 12, when you're going 13 to the senior school, the best players or the better players are drafted into the sports school. It can be any sports. So in hockey, the players goes to this, there's 5 or 6 hockey sports schools. So what happens when they go into these schools, the local school teachers or players are just left behind. They are less focused on coaching and training, knowing that their best players have left for a greener pasture, you know. So there's not much coaching done in the other part now. So it's just focused on these 5, 6 sports schools. And which is sad to say that we feel that the best coaches should be going into these 5 or 6 sports schools to give the best to the best players. But we have a red tape between the Ministry of Education and Ministry of Sports, which they are not working hand in hand, which they should. So instead of Ministry of Education working hand in hand trying to promote more hockey players to go into coaching and teaching, whereas they have their own teachers who are coming back to coach hockey. So it's on the losing end as well.
Yeah, I don't think you're the only country where that's the situation either, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, we have the funds here. I think there's a lot of money being put in into sports, but I think sometimes the money doesn't go into the right angle, you know, or in the right people.
Now, just this is your chance to tee off at administrators, because administrators don't listen to our show, Errol, so you can say what you like here. What is the one what is the one thing you'd change about the current Malaysian Hockey League that to make it better?
I would definitely. I did a proposal many years, about 2-3 years ago, to the Crown Prince, to the Sports Minister, to the Director General of Sports Council, to privatize some part of the teams. An example: privatizing the National League. What they have in the association is, if you're elected in the association, and indirectly you hold a portfolio, you hold the marketing portfolio, or you hold the finance, or you hold the development, or you hold the coaching. So my proposal to them was, these people are, some of them may not be hockey people, but since they are elected, they want to hold a position as a marketing. And that person might be a doctor, a medical doctor. He doesn't know about marketing. Or he holds a portfolio of a coaching committee chairman, and he may not even coached entire hockey in his life. Yeah. So my proposal was, why don't they bring in outsiders who are marketing experts to sit as a chairman of the marketing body? And you can have your people, your committee, who are elected. And then you bring in a professional coach to sit and head the coaching committee. You bring a professional accountant to sit the finance committee. Then you can see things run properly.
Yeah, no, I like your idea.
And then you can see, the hockey league is run professionally, or run by a big marketing media company who knows how to promote the game. It's sad because we had winners, like we had the Australian guys who won the World Cup 2010, 2014, the Olympics gold medal, silver medal. We had Gonzago Pielat. We had the best goalkeeper in the world playing here, and not much publicity done about these people, where they should have done a roadshow, bringing these people, asking them to bring their gold medal with them and going around the country to promote. Things like this were not done. And you can see the stadium sometimes is not filled. It's only 5,000 seatings, only about 500 people watching. And we have 2 stadiums next to each other, which is 18,000 seating and 5,000 seating. We don't even play on the 18,000 for the TV, because they do not want to show the empty stadium. So, but Malaysian hockey has not done nothing to promote the game. It's also sad is because the organizing committee chairman, who also the deputy president of Malaysian Hockey, who is also has got his own team, which is KL Hefty. So there's a lot of unhealthy thing going around. He's the owner of a club who's participating. He's also the organizing committee chairman, and he's also the deputy president. So it's how much he's going to do to promote the game.
I see the problems inherent in that situation, that's for sure. Look, Raul, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon and giving us a little taste of what's happening in Malaysia. And some of the ideas you raised there we should look at just in world hockey sense as well, not just for the Malaysian Hockey Federation.
Yeah, definitely, because I think we are falling backwards compared to rugby, which is played by only 8 or 10 countries in the world, but rugby and cricket, which is worldwide publicized, you know, and I think even the International Hockey Federation should go into marketing and promoting the game, you know.
Well, I think there's a winds of change are coming to the FIH very soon, so cross our fingers. Hopefully. Well, thanks again for your time, Errol, and best of luck. What's your next hockey journey?
Next hockey journey, my family resides in Dublin, so I'm doing some commentary for the Aslan Shah Cup in English commentary. And then I'll fly back to Dublin, spend about 4 to 6 weeks with the kids, you know, taking them to, you know, walk around, spend a bit of time, quality time with them. Then I'm back to Malaysia, spend 2-3 months. My hockey will only start around November or December. So till then, I don't do any hockey.
Oh, well, tell you what, we've got an over-50s team down here in Perth. You're welcome to join if you're looking for a game or two.
Yeah, definitely. We'd love to do that.
Thanks again for your time, Errol. It's been a treat, and we'll be in touch again soon to find out more about Malaysian hockey.
Yes. Thank you. Sure. Pleasure talking to you, Don. Keep well and God bless you.